It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio. Studio B. Are you ready? Haunted spirits and stories, both current and from days gone by. It's the Spectre Detective. With Christine Hart.
Hi there, and it's Christine Joan Hart, and welcome to Spectre Detectives. And we have a really interesting show tonight. I have my co-host, Jana, with me. She's coming on in a moment, and we are going to interview somebody called Penny Bradley, who is, and Mr. Eric Hecker, and they're both experts in programming, deprogramming, all that kind of mind control. So special experts here. I haven't done the research on Penny as much as I should have. I was busy all week, but Jana has done excellent research. So she is going to go ahead and do most of the interviewing. So let me bring her on first. That's all very techie, what we have to do here. So let me bring her on first. It's annoying that let me bring on the other guest. Wow, so annoying sometimes. There she is. So I'll bring on my guest and my co-host at the same time because I might lose my recording. Hello? Let me see who comes on. It's quite difficult because the Skype recorder tends to cut off. Penny, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Lovely. Welcome to the show. I'm just waiting for my co-host to turn up. 2 minutes. She'll be with us soon. Why isn't it working?
I have my cat at my feet licking the bowl from my yogurt.
Nice.
It's lunchtime here. So,
hello?
Oh, there hello. You are. That's Jana with me. That's my co-host. We don't do audio. Turn off visual. Visual? Kill visual?
Right. Okay.
Who's got visual on? Could you kill visual?
Hey, it's me. Sorry. Okay, I was so overjoyed that it's come through my laptop.
Don't worry. So welcome, everybody. Welcome, audience, to Spectre Detectives. Got my co-host with me, Jana, and I've got our guest that was going to talk about mind control, deprogramming, super space program. And welcome, Penny Bradley.
Thank you for having me.
Lovely, no problem. Now I'm going to get Jana to go ahead and interview you to kick off. She's done lots and lots of research into you, and you know, is a little bit of an expert on you. I'll let her kick off. Go ahead, Jana.
Problems.
Pardon?
I'm having real problems. I've just got loads of echo, and there's loads of delay as well. I can't hear things properly.
Damn.
Can you
all hear
call me back?
Yeah. Yep, I can.
Okay, I'll ring off.
Okay. Sorry about this.
This is a normal and to be expected thing when you interview me.
How is it? I know what you mean by that. I used to, you know, do some stuff with Miles Johnson that, you know, had a lot of trouble around it. And then eventually he deleted it and said, oh, it just got hacked. But I didn't really believe that. So I know what it's like. Oh, that you're doing the audio, Jana. Kill your audio.
Right. Hang on.
Visual. Kill the visual.
Yeah, I've killed the visual.
Is your sound okay now?
Yes,
welcome back.
Okay, do you want to go right ahead? No?
Oh, that's all right.
Do you want to go right ahead? No?
Me?
Do you want to go right? I don't know. Penny, do you want to start telling us about your life?
I think while we resolve the problems, that's probably a good idea. I was part of an intergenerational program ran by the CIA, and I'm not entirely sure when it started, but it started before the CIA was actually officially founded. My mother had also been taken because she has alters. And alters are part of the mind control programming. What they do is they take you as a small child and torture that child. And the child's mind will eventually be forced to make a decision to either live or die.
Right.
And if they choose to live, they will put the memory of the torture into a memory bubble that they can forget happened. So there's no shared memory between the two. And then after the trauma has calmed down a little bit in that bubble, the people who created it can program it into another personality. Now, this happens naturally in cases of sexual abuse. But what these people have done is figured out how to go about traumatizing small children to get the number of alters that they want in order to be able to use that. They call us assets. They treat us like we're a truck rather than a person. And they use us for our entire life. It's not a one-time thing, which probably most of my listeners haven't figured that out yet. It's something they take you over and over and over and over and over for your entire lifetime. This is not a one-time shot. They have also taken all three of my children. My eldest was taken when he was 12. My middle son was also taken when he was 12. And my youngest was taken when he was 6. And you can tell alters are pretty difficult to hide, if you know, especially if you know what you're looking for. And my two grandchildren, my granddaughter was 14 and my grandson was 12 when they were taken. And they also have alters and obvious attitude changes. So this is an intergenerational program. When they pick someone, it's not a someone. It is an entire family that they've chosen. And they do that because of they are looking for something they call the metagene. And it's what allows human beings to be psychic. It's what allows, it's the genetic basis for being able to manipulate energy and create your own reality. And so these programs are looking for those people.
What people? And they, people that have got the gene.
People that have the gene. And those people tend to run in families. Now, my understanding is it used to be thousands of years ago that we all had it, that that was the core basis of who we were as a race, species, was that we had this ability. But that over the thousands of years, that those people with those abilities have been systematically killed off. That's what all the witch burnings are about, is killing off those people. And so now we've got spy agencies hunting those people down and using them as weapons. So this is why I'm talking about it, is because these are basically normal human beings who are being kidnapped in childhood, tortured, and then tormented for the rest of their lives. And they have lost their personal sovereignty through no fault of their own. And I'm saying this needs to stop. And it's a lot more prevalent than people think, because fewer than 1% of us ever remember why we're weird. I mean, the alters are obvious to everyone around us. You know, the fact that we have, that we're messed up is obvious to everyone around us. So if someone's coming forward saying, well, I was in the secret space program, but I don't have alters, and I was never tortured. They either don't remember it all, or they're lying. And I'll just put that out there. The real ones are messed up. We have alters. We have paranoia. We have targeting. We have physical illnesses, usually autoimmune disorders, because the technology they use to send us back messes up our DNA.
So, and is it linked with the Nazis? It seems to be linked with the Nazis somewhere along the line.
I try to avoid that term because, number one, Facebook thinks I'm a Nazi.
Oh, that's okay. Feel free to say what you like here.
Okay.
I don't know what I mean by that anyway. I think that there's a lot of connection between the mind control and people that have past lives around World War II and that were Nazis.
The German people had been targeted by the Vatican for almost 1,000 years.
Why?
And their aristocracy came up with a plan to go off world, and the Nazis hijacked it. So I served with the Germans in space, and that's what they are. They were the German aristocracy and the Teutonic Knights, and the Nazis were left on Earth. They do have German uniforms. They do have German culture. They do have German symbols. But they're not Nazis. And making that distinction has made a lot of people go, oh, wow, she doesn't know what she's talking about. But I served in space with them for 50 years. I know those people. I am the first person who came forward publicly and said, I served with the Germans in space. And they're Germans. They're not Nazis.
Why were the Vatican warring against them?
Because they're Merovingian bloodline.
Who is?
The German tribes were the same ethnicity as the Merovingian bloodline. They were descended from the kings of Scythia. And there's a long-standing war between Rome and Scythia, and it continues to this day.
Right.
And honest, the kings of Scythia have ruled everything west of the Ural Mountains in Russia. Everything west of there, they've ruled for thousands of years until the Vatican started killing them off. And they started this in about 600 AD, and it reached its peak during the Albigensian Crusade in the 1200s and the Inquisitions that followed. That's what the witch hunts of the Inquisition were actually about, was they were hunting down these Scythian descendants and killing them. There were entire regions of Germany that had no women at all, and most of the men were also killed. And this has been an ongoing issue, and this is why the Germans went off world. They were tired of constantly being targeted. So they got the means and left.
Right. Where did they go?
Well, first they went to the moon, right. And then they went to Mars, and then they went to Ceres, and they gradually expanded to where they have bases and or colonies on every large moon or planet in the solar system except Nibiru, which is real, Venus, which belongs to the people from Nibiru, and Saturn, which belongs to the galactic, the central galaxy's government. And yes, there is one. So they have a military police force stationed on Saturn. And that's why astrology considers it authority, is because the galactic government sits there. So, but the Germans are everywhere, except Earth.
Sorry? I see. And how? What happened with the war then? What was World War II all about?
World War II was about the treaty at the end of World War I was causing massive numbers of people to starve to death. And that's why the Nazis came to power, was because they found a solution to that problem. And it worked. And because people had been starving to death and suddenly were not, they would follow that regime to hell and back. And they did. Mm. It wasn't that that regime was good. It was that that regime solved that problem, which was there was no work. The money was worthless. It took entire wheelbarrowfuls of money just to buy a loaf of bread. And if you're a widow on a government pension or someone who was a disabled veteran of World War I on a pension, you couldn't buy food. You couldn't buy coal to cook it with if you had it. And it snows in Germany. And people were freezing to death.
And what was all that after the war about, you know, saying about all the Jews that were burned and that they were trying to have this bloodline, they were trying to have this, you know, Aryan bloodline? What's that about?
If you look at that time frame throughout all of Europe, and North America. This is history that has been suppressed. Eugenics was a major philosophical belief throughout the entire First and Second World. Okay, everywhere that spoke English or German or Belgian or any of those countries. So we're talking North America, we're talking Australia, we're talking most of the colonies in Africa. The idea was that there was a white responsibility to clean up the genetics of the whole planet. And they were going through and sterilizing people. I live in California, and it was still legal to sterilize someone here because of their race or low IQ until 1985.
So this has...
They wanted to eliminate black people. They wanted to eliminate Native Americans. They wanted to eliminate Asians. And it wasn't just Germans doing this. Okay? Mm-hmm. This was the beliefs of basically the entire Western civilization. And they were following the doctrine of discovery, which was put out by the Pope, that was the basis for Columbus laying claim to the New World. The doctrine of discovery was that if you went someplace and it wasn't already owned by a Roman Catholic, that it was yours for the taking. And that you were fine if you killed the locals unless they converted to Roman Catholicism. This has been the basis for European colonial behavior ever since. It's only in the last 30 years or so that we've stopped being so in your face about it. And America still is. That's why we have, 600, 800 bases all over the world. We have never left a country that we have had a footprint in. Mm-hmm. So America is now doing the same thing that Europe was doing in the 16, 17, 1800s. So,
what is it doing? Because at the moment, Europe is flooded with, you know, people from all over Africa and the other countries.
Why are those people leaving their homeland?
Because it's horrible, probably.
Because there's warfare. And who's on the other side of that warfare? The American military. You're blaming the wrong people here.
Oh, no. I like black people. They can all come here and all the English can go. Don't get me wrong.
That isn't my point. It's you have to look at what's actually happening and see who is the actual problem. And the actual problem is the bankers who are funding all of this and the weapons manufacturers who are making a killing, literally as well as symbolically, off of selling weapons to these endless wars that the United States has been a part of my entire lifetime and historically before that.
No, I agree with you. I do. I know what's going on.
This is the mindset that the German regime that the Nazis were part of. And there is historical evidence that has been buried that Hitler's solution was to send the Jews to Israel. And the Palestinians were fine with that. It was the British who were running Palestine who told him to stop. And then he tried to find another country to send them to. And all through European history, whenever the the Jewish people got to a certain percentage level, the local king would expel them. That's what Hitler was trying to do, and no one would take them. The ship that Anne Frank's family was on going to America got turned back because they were Jewish, the whole ship. Mm. So this was one country is being blamed for an entire world's prejudice at the time. And younger people don't know because propaganda. You have all this propaganda that we're the good guys and they're the bad guys, and all we're doing is going to repeat the same problems because we don't know what the real problems were.
So you think it's this war of bloodlines?
I think it's this war of bloodlines, yes.
And what is that? I've never heard of Scythian before, actually. Scythian. Is that what you said? Scythian?
Scythian. S-C-Y-T-H-I-A. And that was a country that, well, it wasn't exactly a country. It was the whole Eurasian steppe from in what's today called the Silk Road. Mm. They controlled that whole region.
So from, they were Chinese?
From Ukraine, no, from Ukraine all the way to China, but they were not Chinese. Ethnically, they were white people. The ruling class had red hair and green eyes, and the peasant class had blonde or light brown hair and blue eyes. But they were white people, and they were the only ones that had that kind of coloring 5,000 years ago. Everybody else had brown skin, brown eyes, brown hair, or black hair.
And where did they come from?
They came, according to the legends, they came from interbreeding with the gods, which, you know, you can take that as you will.
Oh, like fallen angels or something, or Nephilim?
That's the assumption, that they were descended from the Nephilim, or the Anunnaki, and it's not going to be popular, but all of humanity's sky gods are Anunnaki. So,
yeah. I've come to that conclusion myself, too.
So I have interacted in space with actual Anunnaki, and they are 3D physical flesh and blood beings. They look like 7 to 9 foot tall albino Vikings. Hmm. They're muscular, they're powerful, they have psychic abilities that if a normal human being was confronted with one, they would think it was an angel or a god, hands down, no questions asked. They would fall to their knees and say, whatever you want, just tell me. They're that terrifying.
And why are they terrifying?
They can talk to your head and you can't shut them out. And they're loud. And they can take full control of your body and make you do whatever they want you to do. And we appear to be genetically modified to worship them.
Hmm.
Their skin glows. The halos in the drawings are because these beings, their skin glows without a light shining on them. They shine in the dark like a light. They're powerful. They know they have a psychic ability to pull energy out of the air and manifest 3D physical objects. Whatever they want.
And were they part of the Old Testament, like Yahweh, the God in the Old Testament? Is that an Anunnaki?
Yeah. The being that you can track through the English Bible all the way through the Old Testament, the one that they call the Angel of the Lord, that one is an Anunnaki. He is the only angel who accepts worship. So, yeah.
What's his real name?
Ninurta.
Isn't that a female?
No. Ninurta is a male. They name their people differently than we do.
So the one that they call Yahweh is Ninurta.
No, the one that they call Yahweh is Enlil. The one that they call Adonai is Enki. The one that the Jewish people call Shekinah is actually Ninma or Ninhursag, which means Lady of the Mountain. And each of these countries that the Scythian people went to, their language would shift. And so they would change the names. So you have to go through and look at the pantheon and the personalities of those beings and compare that to the next country they were in to figure out who was who. So you have Adonai is Enki, is Ptah, is Poseidon, is Odin, is Votan. You know, this is the way it goes through these. And each, there's in the neighborhood of 20 of them that are their royals of the Anunnaki, and the rest of them, there's millions of them. These are the people from the planet Nibiru.
What are they doing?
They are actual 3D physical extraterrestrials from another world, and they came here, and they had a job to do, but the nitrogen in our air is poisonous to them, so they had a really hard time doing it. So they modified Homo erectus to make us. And it says right in Genesis that we were created from the clay of the earth to serve God.
Why aren't we all worshiping these Anunnaki?
Most of us are.
That's
what Judaism is. That's what Christianity is. That's what Islam is. Most of us are worshiping them. Buddha was one of them.
Who's Allah?
Allah is Nanar.
A different one.
So, we're way off topic.
Oh, no, but I enjoy this. So.
Okay. I've been asked about them a lot because I've had actual interaction with them. I'm not talking from research. I'm talking from I have interacted with them, and my interaction with them was not pleasant, by the way. I was abducted June 15th, 2018, and they declared that I personally was an abomination and that they put me inside a machine that's known as the Truth Machine and started peeling off my altars and recording the memories and then destroying the altar. And they had just finished doing this to the second one when the Germans in space showed up to rescue me. So that's why I'm alive today, is because the Germans in space showed up to rescue me. Now, does that sound like Nazis in space to you?
No, I know the Nazis have been, you know, the history's been, you know, twisted and...
The history has been completely twisted.
So and why has it been twisted?
Because of the bloodline war.
And the bloodline war again. Sorry, explain why it's actually going on. Because they're different.
It's a power struggle between two groups. One group used to run the planet, basically, or at least Europe.
Which one was that?
The Scythians. Okay. And when the Vatican rose to power, they started killing them off. So the Scythians have been fighting back.
Right.
So it's a turf war between the two. And everybody else is caught in the crossfire.
Right. Now, what about the Jewish people? Are they the Vatican?
The Jewish people are another tribe of the Scythians.
All right.
So they have trouble from everybody else because it's a turf war.
Hmm. But we're controlled by Jewish people right now, aren't we? They have all the money control.
Yes and no. Some Jewish people have money and control. Most Jewish people are not involved in that at all. They're just pleasant people trying to live quiet lives.
Yeah, of course.
And I want to make that clear because I have people in my world who go crazy because, oh, so-and-so's Jewish, so-and-so's Jewish. Well, yeah, some people are Jewish. And some people who are Jewish are doing some of these things. That does not mean that all Jewish people are bad, nor that any of them deserve to be put through what happened in World War II. I'm not supporting the Holocaust. I'm not denying that it happened. I'm just saying there was a big mess with the Germans before that. Mm. And other solutions were hunted for and blocked. And they picked a really, really, really bad one. So I'm not a supporter of any of that. I have never seen a genocide that I liked.
Hmm. Who is Zeus then? Is Zeus Enlil or Enki?
Zeus is Marduk, who is Enki's firstborn.
Oh, I see. Is he the bad one? There's some that are quite dark. Is there a dark one?
I'm going to say it this way. They have their own agenda, and whether you see them as light or dark depends on how they interact with you.
Mm-hmm.
They have what they are doing, and its fallout is sometimes good and sometimes bad. Enki created us as slaves. Is that good? Is that bad?
Hmm.
Okay.
So what before
Enlil didn't want us created and has been trying to destroy us all along. Is that good or bad? You know?
Which one do we call Satan?
We usually call Enki Lucifer, and that's not the same being as Satan. Satan is from Taurus and looks like a minotaur.
Why do we call Enki Satan?
Because people want simple answers.
Mm.
So they want all the bad guys to be Satan and all the good guys to be God, and it's not that simple.
Hmm. So what's their agenda for us? I mean, were we created by another god, a creator god? Were we sort of here, was humanity here before they started creating us as slaves? Or did they actually sort of literally...
What What was here before is the animal that we found their bones and called them Homo erectus. That's what was here before. And they took that animal because it could breathe nitrogen and not die, and hybridized that animal with their own DNA to create us. Every single one of us are a hybrid between Homo erectus and the Anunnaki. Every single one of us.
Why are some of us black and some white and Chinese? Why do we look so different? Is it because they look different? Each one looks different?
It's because they tried 9 different times before they got a version that they liked. And all of those versions survived and interbred, and they all looked different.
Well, which ones came first?
That I couldn't tell you. I know that there have been. You'd have to go through the fossil record to know which ones came first. I know that Cro-Magnon was the one that they liked.
Is that white or black?
You know, they really don't know. But it came from a source that spread to both the eastern shores of the New World and the western shores of Europe and North Africa. And those people have Rh negative blood. Unless they've intermarried with somebody else. And then it can be anything.
So what is their actual agenda for us?
Their agenda was to mine gold because they turn it into ormus and eat it, and it keeps them alive. And they use it because they've destroyed their own ozone layer. So they poof powdered gold into the atmosphere to protect themselves from the cold of space. Right. So it's an ongoing, they are here for gold, period. That's their whole agenda, and that we are still mining it for them.
So what future have we got? I mean, what hope? Do we talk to them and try and curry favor with them, or what?
What you are asking is the equivalent of, can you talk to the Queen of England and get a better deal on your taxes?
So you mean there's not much chance. But why do they create us to worship then if we weren't able to get close or anything, or we weren't able to make a difference? Why have us as worshipping if that worshipping doesn't make any difference?
Because that worshiping makes you a better slave. You're not going to rebel.
Oh, I see. So, but do you think, do humans have a creator god, or no, we're just sort of screwed, really?
Our racial creator god is the being who created us in a lab, and that would be Enki. And there is a being that the Anunnaki worship that is called, they call it the creator of all that is. And that's basically what the alternative faiths call source.
Oh, I see. And is that our god?
It's basically the only thing I would consider valid. The rest that I've met have all been ETs, and I see no reason to worship a physical being.
Yeah. Do you, sorry, I've forgotten the question. So what about reincarnation? I mean, how do we sort of, are the reptilians involved in this? Are they Anunnaki?
The Draco are not Anunnaki. The Anunnaki are a subject race of the Draco. and they are technically in control of the solar system and pay the taxes slash tribute to the Draco for the entire system.
Hmm.
We are in the middle of the Draco Empire, so it would be like, oh, how could I put it in terms a Brit could understand? It would be like Lancaster saying, we're not going to be part of the UK anymore.
Who's Lancaster?
Yeah. I have ancestors from Lancaster, so I know where that is.
Oh, I
see. So it would be like Lancaster deciding that they weren't going to be part of the UK anymore.
So if the whole system, if this, did you say universe was Draco?
It's an empire.
Right.
The Milky Way has three arms. And we live on, there's a point that's called the Orion Spur. And it is like a blob on a point of the Sagittarius arm. Okay. And that particular corner where the Orion Spur is on the Sagittarius arm, the Draco Empire is sitting on that. And it's a rather good sized area. So we're in the middle of it. We are almost exactly on the point where the spur attaches to the arm. And we are almost exactly in the middle of the Draco Empire.
Isn't that a bad thing? They're quite known to be quite warlike. And
actually, they haven't been starting new wars for a long time. But they do put down rebellions in the Empire. And they're pretty nasty about that. But they come first and try to work out the problem. And they'll spend decades negotiating to work out the problem. It's only if there's no diplomatic solution that they'll come through and destroy the place.
Mm. And what about the mind control? Is that linked then with the Anunnaki?
The Anunnaki do practice mind control of humans, but the mind control that's practiced by the CIA, they learned from secret societies that go back in time. And I know that their practices are also practiced by the Draco, the Zeta Greys, the Mantids. So I'm not sure exactly where they came from.
Oh, there is such a thing. There's such a thing as Mantids?
Yes.
There's a whole planet.
There's a whole empire of them.
Yes, that's really creepy because they're not exactly, they look awful, don't they?
They can scare you. But when you're dealing with them, they're great healers. They're very sympathetic. They gave the Germans technology to heal any disease that humanity has. So they have their good side. All of these beings are in 3D. They are capable of both good and bad. It's individual choices.
What about spiders? Are there really giant spiders?
There are really giant spiders on Mars. And the mantids on Mars keep them as working pets, like humans on Earth keep herding dogs, you know, that help them herd sheep. So, yeah.
Hmm.
And their venom is really nasty.
Really?
Really. They have two sets of mandibles, one over the other, and you really don't want to get bit.
So what are humans to do? I mean, how do you live a good life? I mean, what are we supposed to aim for if we're just slaves and of beings? What do we do? Hope to die? Or, I mean, what can we do?
You do the best you can to live a decent life and take care of your own and your neighbors. My understanding is that the soul trap will let us leave once we reach 52% service to others.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then you can go wherever you want.
Who put that soul trap in?
Well, Earth was originally set up as a nursery for baby souls. And so it was a place where baby souls could learn everything there was to know about life through repeated incarnations. And when they finally reached the point that they were 52% service to others, they could graduate into the rest of the universe. And the galaxy figured out they could exile their criminals here doing that. So what we have now is about half are baby souls and the other half are criminals, dissidents, kings that were taken out by coups, people who wanted justice on an unjust world. We've got a whole collection of folks here now.
And all different. Are they all half from the Anunnaki, the criminals?
The bodies are. Okay, when I say half Homo erectus, half Anunnaki, I'm talking about the bodies.
Right, so the galaxy's dumping their criminals. It could be like a mantid criminal.
It could be anything. There are beings out there that don't breathe oxygen, and they have shapes that you wouldn't even recognize as a life form. And that soul might be in a human body.
Oh, really? That's weird. What would you call them?
Each race has its own body. I think the New Age community is calling them star seeds.
Where do they come from?
All over.
What are they here for?
Most of them are here in prison.
Really?
Really? They just don't remember why they're here.
So they've committed some kind of crime?
Most of them. But crime does not mean the same thing everywhere. Okay? Crime could be complaining about the local king.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean. God, it really does seem like a dustbin. I mean, is there hope for us? So the hope for us is what Jesus said. I mean, who was Jesus?
Jesus was an Anunnaki hybrid born into the Scythian bloodline.
And what do the Scythians want to do?
The ones that I know mostly just want to live a decent life. The few that I know that are descended from the kings of them, they're kind of hoping to get back into power, but they're not betting their lives on it.
It's also horrible, isn't it, really?
We've kind of gotten ourselves into a mess here.
Yeah.
When you've got entire ethnic groups trying to leave the planet because of a turf war, I mean, think about the implications of that. And then you've got another country, mine, putting together a space program that's completely secret that uses kidnapped children to go chase those Germans in space.
Why do they want to chase the Germans?
Because they're taking World War II into space.
Really?
They never signed a peace treaty with Germany. That's why there are still troops occupying Germany.
Is there?
Oh, yes. We just had 8,000 of them sent home because of the riots in America. But there's still thousands of American soldiers in Germany.
And what do they do with the kids that they send into space to get the Germans?
Well, there's different programs out there, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, because America lost the Battle of Operation High Jump, there is a treaty between the Germans in space and the Americans. And part of that treaty was they had to turn over 150,000 American kids to the Germans every year. And I was one of them in 1964. So when I talk about them, I'm talking about first-person experience. I was there. This is witness. This is testimony that would hold up in court.
And what did the Germans do with them?
Well, with me, I showed up. I was 9 years old. I didn't speak German, and they put me in school for 10 years. And when I graduated, they put me in the pilot seat in a fighter plane and gave me a job in the war that they were fighting against the Mars Raptors and the Mars Mantids. And there were American soldiers who were also on Mars who were fighting on the side of the Germans.
And oh, one sec, Penny, we're just having a break. Penny, we're just having a break. Can you just mute the mic just for 3 minutes? And we'll be back after the adverts. It's the adverts. Okay.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take
the future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
Be evasive.
But that doesn't mean that they're telling the truth as opposed to fiction.
And Genesis chapter 6, verse 4, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, indicating that there were giants before the Nephilim.
And sons of God plural. They weren't talking about Jesus coming down.
No, that's right.
I'm Steve Crawford, host of Factor Theory Live. Join me every Sunday night from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Check it out.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution Radio!
Alright, let's show them what we got here.
he's Dr. Mundi. Hi, Karl Marx here. I am all seriousness today, my friends. There is this show you must not listen to. The ultimate remedy with this guy, LB. This guy has figured me out. I hear it on Tuesday, and he is telling the truth. I mean lies. Stay away from this guy. Where's my good hairbrush? Anybody see my mama?
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
All right. Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome back. It's Christine Hott, and welcome back to Spectre Detectives Show. And we've got Penny Bradley with us at the moment. Jonna has maybe disappeared.
I'm here.
Oh, you're there. Oh, good. Sound is okay. Penny has been talking. Penny, your friend Eric wants to come on right now. Is that okay with you?
Yes, that's great.
Great. Now, I didn't have time to research everyone. Do you want to tell me about Eric, Penny, or Jonna?
I can tell you about Eric. Eric is a veteran of something in the secret black ops. I'm not sure exactly what, because he's still remembering things. He came to me because he needed someone to talk to. And he was part of the Monroe Institute finding people for Project Stargate. And that was as a child. And he became a plumber, and he joined the U.S. Navy submarine section. And at some point, he did a whole year at the Raytheon South Pole research base. And I have been at his house, and I've seen his pay stubs, and I know he's actually done these things. So...
Okay, lovely. Eric, would you like to talk about the Monroe Institute and what they're doing there right now? And welcome to the show, by the way.
Thank you very much for having me. Hello, Penny.
Hi, Eric.
The Monroe Institute, as of now, I could only say is still up and running, offering the same services that they apparently always have. The contracts were just... obligatory at the time. They got hired by the CIA to do the things that they do, which is work with the mind.
Are they doing deprogramming? Somebody, a guest I had on recently, said they were doing deprogramming of people that have been through these Monarch experiments.
I haven't heard that myself, if that's a new service that they offer. I'm more familiar with their older programs.
Oh, I see.
This is stuff that happened to me as a child in these programs, not recently.
Right.
Most of these programs are not doing deprogramming. Most of them, if you get involved with them, you'll find yourself even more deeply programmed.
Yes. So now what I can say is that through my research and investigations, I certainly came across some of the Monroe Institute meditations that are available online for free today. And it was wildly interesting because in my experience, I had no recollection of doing this meditation before. But basically, instantly, as soon as I started getting involved with it, I was having dead reckoning that I had gone down this path before, and I was remembering the meditation verbatim and having the visuals that go with it at the right cue points. And then it was rather shocking to me to become present and clear that I had done this before.
What are the meditations about?
They're about syncing the left and right side of your hemispheres in a particular fashion that the Monroe Institute recommends, and it's supposed to give you greater skill sets in what the Stargate program would call anomalous mental phenomenon, or AMP, also sometimes referred to as remote viewing.
Oh, I see. Does that help alters that have been... Because I had an experience with an alter. I'm not sure if I've been through the Monarch program, but I have got alters, and I did grow up in a Vatican-run orphanage. I know, they're creeps. And they sort of adopted me out when I was four, but then they kept bringing me back for parties, which I always thought were a little bit suspect, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, and then I found myself working for XMI6 agencies, detective agencies, not doing anything like vastly important, but the next thing I was working for Fleet Street, and I was getting very close to one of the leaders of the Real IRA, and it was all very sex was involved all the time, you know, and I seemed to be spending years and years getting close to people like that, but it having no payback for me. Like, I would think that I would get the idea, oh, I could write a best-selling book about this and go and do lots of cozying up, say, to the Real IRA. But then at the end of it, when I'd finished, there wouldn't be a book. It would, like, as if I was wasting my time, if you know what I mean.
I think that I'm following you.
That sounds to me like that your alters were being used and that you had just enough awareness to know you were in the situation, but not enough to control what was actually being done. And that's why there was no book at the end.
Oh, I see. I noticed that I had this alter when I was, like, you know, out in Ireland and, you know, having this sexual relationship with the IRA commander. I noticed that I had an alter that was strong, and it had been around for a while and was, like, you know, didn't have any fear. But now for the last 10 years, I've been left with this part, which is very scared, a scared part. Would you know how I would get that other alter back that seems to have disappeared or gone walkabout? Where actually is it now?
It's in a it's in a bubble in your head or your consciousness, and it would require a program trigger to bring it back. And the program triggers are different for each individual alter in each individual person. There are certain, like, families of programming that they use for an individual, and they use the family over and over, but they don't use the same trigger words because they don't want you to accidentally trigger each other. My personal programming was all based on Wizard of Oz.
I think mine was Alice in Wonderland.
That's a very common one as well for those of us over 30.
Yeah.
The younger kids, they're using more modern movies.
Right. Let's skip. My son is right. Arthur, could you? Yeah, could you? I'm having a radio show live on it. Could you not do that? Okay, we'll shut the door. Sorry, my son.
No worries.
So yeah, it's so there's no way I could actually access that because it's accessed by other people, but not me.
That would be the current state of the union.
Don't go near that chair. Yeah, sorry.
That's the current state of the situation, yes.
And there's no way out of it at all?
Well, that's the current state. That doesn't mean that through future research you can't figure things out. I mean, certainly this is a tech or a technique or a technology, however you want to title it, that has been applied to you and many other people. Just because you don't have the answer right now doesn't mean you shouldn't have hope. It just means you need to do more research and work and talk to more people.
Well, that's why I got this radio show. And I've been talking now for the past 4 years and still nothing. Still, I'm left with quite a weak alter. You know, it's weak, really. Pardon?
I have been using Native American soul fragment retrieval. And it's a shamanic technique, and you need a shaman to work with you, because when you're in the trance, you can be fooled by things and the shaman isn't. So I have managed to reintegrate 31 of my 2,200 altars. It's a painstaking process, but it can be done. It's just you have to find a shaman willing to work with you, someone who is reputable and that you can trust.
So who did you use?
My shaman, he and I live together now, and he's an Iroquois native, and he's a very good man, and I'm blessed to have him. But he's not open for business. There are others out there, but you have to know that you're asking for soul fragment retrieval.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah. So it's astral travel, isn't it? And splinter. But isn't this different than people that have just lost parts because of trauma? This is where somebody's actually taking it, and somebody's it's been done.
This is soul fragment to the extreme. So the same technique works, it's just harder. And once you have that fragment back in the reintegration process, you have to deal with shadow work, because many of these altars have done things that are completely opposite to your own ethical compass. And you have to live with that part of that altar is now you. So this is in your memory bank. This is something, quote unquote, you have done. So you have to do the work. You can't just sit there and say, which I'm seeing a lot of people in the community doing that, if they manage to get the fragment back at all.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's bad that these people have done it. I think the Vatican were up to their balls in it, really, weren't they?
Yeah, I would say they were, yes.
I went to 13 years of Roman Catholic school. I can assure you there. Some hypocrisy going on.
I know. So who do they work? Do they work for one of the Anunnaki or themselves?
I think they're working for themselves. And I know they have some ET working with them, but I don't know which one.
Right, but they're basically advancing humanity.
No, they're advancing themselves.
Aren't they human? Oh, they're half and half.
We're all half and half.
Yeah.
That's the big thing people are not getting. We are all half and half.
Yeah. No, I see. But they must be different somehow.
They have power. That's all.
Oh, I see. And are they linked with the Aryans at all? It's quite confusing to see which side is which, etc., etc.
Well, I've basically come to the conclusion that the Vatican are attacking the Aryans, who are the Scythians.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, that would make sense.
Yes. So they are competing factions in a turf war.
And why are the Vatican attacking the Scythians? I mean, why don't they share?
We covered this. And why don't they share? Why doesn't anybody share? Humanity has this attitude of, I'm going to rule the world, and I'm not going to share with who had it before. Everybody, that's why we're having a turf war, is they're fighting over who's going to be boss.
But there must be fundamental differences between them.
Why? The people who get along the least are the ones that are most alike.
Hmm. Yeah, perhaps. It just strikes me as there must be something profoundly different, like, you know, profoundly. I mean, you called it a bloodline, Merovingian bloodline. I've heard that mentioned before by James Casbot, et cetera, and Max Spears. I don't really know what that means.
Max Spears was telling the absolute straight-up truth that the Merovingian bloodline is who is being attacked by the CIA. Yes, the CIA is behind Monarch that Max Spears was in. It is behind the program that I was in. It is behind the program that Eric is in. It is behind the program that is currently chasing the Germans in space. All of it. The CIA is behind that. And the CIA is playing both sides against the middle. Because they want to be the boss.
Oh, I see, I see.
It's not a simple two-party fight. I have tracked 30 different groups involved in this turf war.
I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it as well. It's just a giant turf war. I mean, I'm from New York. I'm familiar with the streets having some tensions on them, and people like to control things. And I think what we're learning contemporarily, as the universe is expanding and we're seeing more fronts opening, is that it's just a bigger street and more factions fighting over who gets what.
Yeah. That's exactly how I see it.
There's more factions, and the people that have been speaking to you about what's been going on have been simply lying.
Or they've only seen one corner of the picture and thought it was all of it.
Absolutely. They're either misinformed or they're disinforming.
Yeah, well, it's hard for everybody to see the whole picture, because we're just kept in a little box, aren't we? Our awareness isn't very high. We're just kept looking at material considerations constantly.
The distribution of information to the general public from the programs that they fund through their tax dollars is disseminated in a compartmentalized way so that they don't actually get informed on purpose.
Yeah. Mm. The CIA has been declassifying documents at the rate of, you'll get a download of 5,000 documents all at once on a Friday, usually on a weekend holiday. And they do not expect anyone to go through those 5,000 documents. And when they come up with something, they say, well, we told you about that and that document download.
Hmm. Who are the Palladians? Are they the Germans?
My experience from space is that the Palladians are indeed the Germans.
Oh, I see. Well, that will make sense.
We used to use going to the Pleiades as a code phrase for it was classified and couldn't talk about it. And if you look at the actual books that the people wrote from various ET encounters, there would be a ET who was the navigator for the ship. And so because of that ET, they would call it an ET abduction. But if you look at the ship, it looks like a Hanabu, and it has swastikas, and they're speaking German, and the people in it are either German or Scottish, because they have a lot of Scottish people serving in the German military in space.
Hmm. Why is that? Is it something to do with their blood?
It has to do with that they were also the nobility, the Alba. You remember the Alba? The Alba were a Scythian tribe. The Tuatha De Danann were a Scythian tribe. The Picts were a Scythian tribe.
Right.
These are tribes of the same ethnicity, the same phenotype. Right. So they have similar abilities.
I see. And the others want to squash that. That was why they burnt the witches, etc.
Etc. Yes, exactly.
They're scared of people having psychic powers.
You blinked. What did you say?
They're scared of these people having psychic powers.
Yes, because if you have telepathy, you can know what they're up to.
Oh,
and either expose it or block it.
Mm.
And that was part of what the remote viewing program was about that Eric was involved in.
Do you want to talk about that, Eric? We've got plenty of
sure.
time.
That would
just
be
go right ahead.
When I was much younger, Roman Catholic school, there was a library on the first floor, and I would get, you know, basically tapped with some of the other children to be heading that direction. And we would get involved with the Monroe Institute training, which was utilization of these peculiar, I guess you would say, visual machines, along with some audio headphones. And prior to getting into this device, we had attendance, which, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I do believe it was part of the setup. But they were certainly very beautiful girls. I was a young boy, and these were girls that were probably in their early 20s, very easy on the eyes, and they were, I would say, operating in closer proximity than I was familiar with. So it was cool. And we would have to get eye drops as soon as we went there, which in hindsight is extremely peculiar. But at the time, I was being a good kid. It was part of the process. I was told to sit down, tilt my head back, be careful not to get the eye drops on my uniform because it'll stain. And the girl attendant would hold a napkin by the corner of my eyes as she was putting them in. And then we would go into the machine. They would put these clunky headphones on us, and you would sit at the table and lean forwards and take a view. And I believe one of these devices was called a tachyscope, which is a peculiar term, but it's a visual learning device. But this one is still different than the ones that I looked up. It actually had this peculiar visual technique. You looked at your answer. And my recollection was that it was like a black screen with a yellow cross in the middle with extended arms on the top and bottom, but they didn't go completely to the end. So it only caused like a separation in the middle, but then in each quadrant would be your answer. And they would show you videos or play things in the headphones, and you would look at the answer and it would select it. And I remember spending so much time in that machine trying to figure out how it knew what I was looking at. I can't begin to tell you how much my brain was focused on that. I was very amazed by this machine's ability to do that. And I would do all the stuff they were asking me to do while just pondering that like crazy. But it was an interesting environment that at the time made zero sense to me because it was like bizarro world. I don't know if you're familiar with the Superman comic series and his arch nemesis Bizarro. Like everything's just the opposite. So in that library, to me, it was like checking logic and common sense at the door when we went into that room. Again, I was a child, and they were not communicating to me what their real motives were. So it was all about deception and misdirection. Mm.
About what year was that?
This would have been between the years of, I would guesstimate, between, I would say, 1981 and 89.
Okay. I just wanted the listeners to have an idea of what time frame.
Mm-hmm. You got it. So then we would sit at the tables on other times, and what I now know to be the remote viewing process is what we were engaged in. But at the time, they were just simply asking me questions. They would tell me that it didn't matter. Whatever my answers were correct, that I shouldn't think too hard, and it's okay, I can say anything that I want. But they would start asking things like, you know, do you see mountains or do you not see a mountain? You know, if I tell you this number, what fruit do you think of? You know, things like that. None of the questions to me had any rhyme or reason to them, and they seemed like bad questions to me. Like, as a child that was, you know, learning how to be smart and ask things correctly and answer appropriately, I felt like the questions were nonsense. You know, to ask me, you know, when you tell me a number and say that that is supposed to think of a place and what type of ball do you think of, you know, it's just, none of it made any sense. But now in hindsight, studying the Stargate programs, looking at the Freedom of Information requests and digging backwards, I can make the connections and I can say, okay, that's what was going on. That's what they were doing in there. But it's more so moving backwards and connecting fragments of information that from my first pass in that experience, I can now look back and understand how easy it is for someone to deceive a child, to put them in these programs and manipulate them. I recently spoke to my father about this, and he confessed to me that he had no idea that this was going on. And he apologized. He just said he didn't know. He has no recollection of that program signing any type of permission slip, nothing.
Interesting. Jonna, do you have any questions for Eric? You've been really quiet, so I just want to bring you into the show. We've just got...
Yes, I do. Good evening, Eric. Good evening, hello. Penny. I'd like to ask about the Operation Stargate. I'm intrigued to find out more.
I'm sorry, the Operation which?
Stargate.
Oh, Stargate. Yes. Yeah, so basically they would bring me in that room. We would do that. I do recall that when I would depart that library, it was in the front lobby, which was a south-facing building, so it would be very well lit. And I remember that I always wanted to hurry, get out of that library as fast as possible, because I knew that whatever the effect of what was in those eye drops was going to wear off. But if I hurried up, I could make it through the lobby, and everything would have a very deep yellow, like, filter to it, like as if I had yellow lensed sunglasses on, but I didn't.
What do you think was in the eye drops?
I have no idea at this point, but I know that they didn't ask my parents' permission.
That's very strange.
Project Stargate was a CIA program developed, I believe, in the early 60s that was a way to remote view enemy programs. It was believed that the Russians had already perfected this and was using it to spy on American military and industrial bases. And so the Americans were in a big rush to figure out how to do the same to the Russians and later the Chinese. And one of the things that they found was that when you were remote viewing, you could not be blocked. So they found there was no way to stop this. So they finally figured out that secrecy was kind of irrelevant. But in the process, they had these programs, and they have changed names every 8 to 12 years over the decades. The CIA used several people. The one who comes to mind was Ingo Swann, whose book Penetration is about the techniques used. And this was a serious CIA program that is still ongoing, except now, instead of having a separate CIA unit, you have remote viewers embedded into military units, where that it's really useful when you're on one side of a wall to be able to have someone who can tell you what's on the other side. And this is a common military practice now because of this program. And Eric has done a lot of Freedom of Information Act research into the programs, in the program names for this same project as it changed over time, who funded it, where it was based, and this is the program that the movie Men Who Stare at Goats was based on.
I do have some of those. Some of the other names that the operation was going by was Grill Flame, Center Lane, Artichoke, just to name a few. But Penny is correct. They do enjoy changing the name a lot, and who gets to, you know, receive and pass checks around, and it makes it harder for folks to follow it.
Do they use the movie Inception? Is that a form of that kind of thing?
Yes. The movie Inception is a similar technique, but a different program.
Correct.
What program is that?
I don't know the actual name of that program, and Inception is not something done regularly because it's so easy for the operative to get lost in the other person's head.
Dream hacking.
Folks probably nowadays need... Yeah. Folks need to start getting, I guess, familiar with a term, I guess, called the battlefield of the mind. So, yes, the things that Penny and I are talking about and that we have been exposed to would be basically the research and development side of the weapons that will eventually be used in the battlefield of the mind. The movie Inception would just be the outcome of that. That would be a weapon system to be able to go in and insert memories and remove memories and to do things in real time like that. It's just technology that is, you know, come out of these programs.
It's more like a commercial division, isn't it?
You notice even in the movie, they use technology to pull it off. It's not a totally psychic ability.
Yeah.
It was interesting that the other guy they were spying on, he had his own military that attacked him in the dream. So he was actually, he had psychic spies protecting him. I thought that was interesting.
Well, it's believed, isn't it, by certain people that a lot of activity nowadays takes place in the astral, and that's including corporate stuff. So it's not all to do with warfare or spying. Or necessarily occult stuff. So that's another aspect to this kind of thing.
A lot of it's just corporate.
I believe that,
Now, when I was in those programs, I was not particularly good at the protocol. They would give you a set of numbers that they called coordinates, and they would tell you to draw or describe whatever it was you saw when you looked at that number. And I couldn't do that. And I kept getting in trouble for that in my program because I just couldn't. Until they finally figured out that I could separate and bilocate in astral and actually visit the place and then describe it. But they had to give me real coordinates for me to be able to do that. So not everyone can remote view, but an incredible number of people can. And it cannot be blocked.
Yeah.
That was the oddity for me in the library with the Monroe Institute as well. They would have me draw pictures. They would give me numbers. They would give me questions. They would tell me, draw a picture. Draw whatever you want, kid. You know, it made no sense to me, but I would do what they said, and apparently it worked. Like Penny says, you know, some people just can do this, and they kept bringing me back, but they weren't telling me what was going on. So it was extremely peculiar, you know, to be asked questions that make no sense, to give answers that I feel make no sense, but then to still get kind of a pat on the back, like, good job, kid. We'll see you next week. You know, it was a very interesting situation.
So, Eric, I was interested in learning that you worked on submarines, because I come from a place in the northwest of England where mm-hmm. we build submarines.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're a very interesting vessel. And I was, it was back in the mid-90s that I was in the submarine service, but it was a very peculiar period of my life that I'm doing massive research in, because that's one of the spots that I really think they might have wiped some stuff out on me. So it's very hard to make connections. And I certainly have memories of that time period that do not match the rest of my memories.
That's what I was thinking, because if you're spending a lot of time on submarines, inside submarines, then you're in a whole other world completely anyway, even if you're not even at sea.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're like,
it is a very
like
different environment, the training type. That I went through.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that? Sorry.
It is a very different environment, even when you're not underway. The trainings and stuff that I went through, the schools, the technology that I was privy to way back when is stuff that, I mean, for all practical purposes, you guys don't have yet. So it was a very interesting time of my life. I most certainly remember almost immediately I had to wrap my head around the fact that I felt like I was in a group in the world now that was privy to a different activity going on. I remember that much from back then. I remember going home on the weekends and being like, how do I talk to people? They don't know what's going on.
That's interesting. Like a group identity
thing. When my memories were first reactivated, and that was done by an NSA agent, I sat there with them. I didn't even talk to my partner about them, because I was, how this can't possibly be real. This could not have happened on Earth. This is not real. Who do I talk to? How do I talk to? And everyone that I approached with it basically recoiled in horror. So I only went public because the CIA started shooting at me.
Oh, well, as you do. So, Eric, do you know New London Submarine Base in Connecticut?
That's where I was.
I thought you might have been.
Yep.
Because my brother-in-law was weapons systems manager on the Trident program.
Excellent.
So I went out to Connecticut in the early 80s to visit my sister.
Excellent.
And I've had a quick glimpse of New London.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit of a strange world, isn't it? Because the Trident submarines that we're building now, they all begin with A, like the Ambush and the Agamemnon, things like that. Okay. Apparently the technology is so sensitive that if the Russians launch a sub somewhere thousands of miles away, our submarines that are swimming around our waters can pick it up.
I would not begin to pretend to understand how complex a submarine's systems are right now, knowing how complex they were back then.
Mm-hmm.
And the rate at which they were progressing is extreme. I mean, the Seawolf class submarine in the United States went to sea, I don't know how many years ago at this point, and that has the Caterpillar drive like on the Red October in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody talks about that in the slightest, but the magnetohydrodynamic drives, the MHD drives, are real. They've been around a really long time, but it's only just now starting to become public. And it's going to really blow people's minds when they start to understand what an MHD drive can do.
It's an interesting world, isn't it? And yeah. I'm wondering how much of remote viewing and psychic ability and all that realm of things is actually coming to the development of submarines as time has gone by.
Well, there's a Dr. James Giordano, who works in the neurosciences, especially in the weaponization of these texts in the battlefield of the mind concept, has stated clearly in his work and his research that submariners, at the very least of the United States Navy, have been targeted as research targets for these programs willingly and unwillingly, or I should say knowingly and unknowingly.
Exactly. Well, let's shift a bit now then. So can you tell us about your work in Alaska? Because that is another strange place of a very mysterious goings-on, I believe.
Oh, sure. First and foremost, I love working in Alaska because it is freakishly beautiful. And I actually prefer working in the cold. I don't like sweating at work anymore. I'd rather put layers on and go out in the snow. But I've done stuff, let's see, so now I've gone as far north as Spy Island, which is a man-made island about, say, 5 miles north of the northern coast going up into the shallow oceans up there. And that was set up as a drilling rig with a man camp on it. And I was a maintenance manager would be the title you'd be familiar with for the man camp.
Mm-hmm.
I've done, I would say, similar capacity roles in different other oil field operations. I do a lot of remote construction and operations and maintenance. I've done stuff at gold mines, stuff here in town, whole variety of things. I try to get out and about, but a lot of the stuff here is, when I say, you know, I went and worked somewhere, it's remote. A lot of these places are fly in, fly out. We don't have roads that go everywhere. So lots of times I get dropped into the middle of nowhere, and it's literally what you drag out of that helicopter or that plane is what's going to sustain you for the length of your contract. And sometimes it's, you know, you get 150 pounds and figure it out, and that's what you're going to do.
Yes, I've got an idea of what you mean, because I've got a nephew who is a teacher's Inuit in the Arctic Circle.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So it's quite tricky having just everyday things.
Mm-hmm.
So I get the picture. Do you think that you're still being used by anybody?
Oh, yes.
Okay, would you like to tell us about it?
I mostly just that I, you know, like Penny's well aware of that the folks that are in these groups that are vocal and that are talking about things, you know, they throw the term targeted individual around. And, you know, a lot of people like to think that that means, you know, that you're running around scared, that you have voices in your head and people are following you and stuff like that. It really has much less to do with that than just knowing that people are screwing with you and your ability to progress in life. And you'd be surprised at how easy it is to do that and to test it. So
no, I wouldn't actually.
Anybody can call my employer and say any accusation about me they want, and it could be out of left field. I'll never know that occurred, but I'll know I just lost my job for no good reason when I just got 6 safety awards in 3 weeks and nothing else went wrong, but now all of a sudden I'm unemployed.
Right. Yeah.
You know.
Something's fishy there, isn't it?
Things can be fishy there, and it's funny how, like I said, simple tests that can be done. You can pay attention to the reality around you, make notes on things. But yeah, I mean, sometimes it's almost been within 24 hours of me letting the public know where I was employed, and then I lost my job, having hidden it for weeks.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
So regarding how you get your story out and your experiences, so you have a YouTube channel?
Yes, ma'am.
And what is your YouTube channel called?
I have a YouTube channel and a Facebook page, and both of them are simply Deciphering My Experience, all together as one word. And the reason being is that my hat goes off to everybody and all the work that they have done, folks like Penny that are on point and basically breaking trail for folks like me to follow behind. And I don't have all of the answers, but I have a lot of experiences, and I am just trying to connect the dots in real time with real people that have been down these same roads as me. So I'm happy that you guys are asking me questions, and I hope that the information that I have for you guys hopefully triggers something for you or any one of your listeners as well.
Well, it's definitely a good start. I think if you claim to have answers, I think you put people off, to be quite honest. But I'm sure there's plenty more people walking around that have had experiences similar to yours, but they've just never told anybody about it. So,
or they haven't even remembered it. I think that's one of the things that Penny and I are trying to impress upon people, is that a lot of people have actually been processed through these programs, but because they're highly effective, they're working. You don't recall.
Yeah, I believe that too, very strongly. I think there's a lot more people that have been through programs than they realize.
Yes.
Yeah. So have you written any books? Do you have a blog?
I haven't written any books. I'm kind of just doing this shooting from the hip, to be honest, at this point, because I just don't have the organization, I guess you would say, or the patience to, I guess, try to get all of my answers before I start sharing the information and helping others. Like, you know, I like the idea of everybody being informed of what happened to me and what that means and how sharing that information benefits them. But I don't have the patience to wait. I think we have a real dilemma right now. It's not about my story getting out as much as is helping people. I really believe a lot of people have been in these programs and are going to start waking up and having to deal with it. There's been a bad captain at the helm of the ship, so to say. Whoever's been operating this technology has been doing it nefariously, and my fingers are crossed. I do have hope that this is going to change. But the problem is going to be there's going to be a giant mass casualty incident on a psychological level. So I'm just trying to get some info out there rapidly, like almost like a triage. Like, hey, folks, guess what? There's a technology, and it has impacted you. And you don't feel it yet, but guess what's coming?
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think the popularity of Stranger Things on Netflix last year, or at least in the UK, it was last year. I think that said something. Because I think it definitely did. Yeah, I think if you'd produced something like that for the public a few years ago, I don't think it would have hit the mark. But I think it was just about the right time. But then I've got my suspicions about Netflix and their intentions and where they're coming from myself.
I would call that one a limited hangout. That it was great that it was a good start, right? But ultimately what Stranger Things did to the Montauk Project story was basically turn it into a Disney musical.
Yeah.
There's literally song and dance in that. I would suggest that you take a look. There's another Netflix series called Dark.
Right,
it is the non-Disney version of what happened on the east end of Long Island.
Right.
It's got subtitles, hasn't it?
The original came out in German, and I actually loathe watching subtitles because I can't see the movie. But it was so good that I actually watched it in its entirety in German and then watched it again in English. And I'm partial towards it in German because the acting is that much better when you have it matched up.
Where's the English version? Because we've just got dubbing. Have they dubbed it? Is that what they've done?
They dubbed it. Yes, they dubbed it over.
It's hideous, though.
Yes.
It's
not bad. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad, and the storyline is still fantastic. It is very worthy of watching, but it is certainly not as good as, you know, if they were able to record it with appropriate acting.
Yeah, they should maybe do it again.
There was a film that came out, I think, again last year, and it was called American Ultra.
I think I fell asleep watching that.
That is just making fun of those of us who have survived the MK Ultra programs. But the concept of you can be working at a fast food joint and have someone show up and use a code word on you and you are suddenly an assassin, that's very true. That's very real. And that person working in the fast food joint has absolutely no clue that that's in them.
Yeah.
That's part of my life.
Wasn't there Long Kiss Goodnight? with Gina? Oh, she was quite a popular actress. That's the nearest thing that's come to the assassin part of MK Ultra. And that was quite a few years ago now. So, and apart from that, there was the French film. And I can't remember the name of it, but it was a girl's name. That was about mind control as well. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Nikita,
yeah.
Well, Nikita was about mind control assassins, and they're trying to get that concept out of the public's mind now because so many of us are starting to come public. They don't want the public to realize that they've done that to us.
That's why I was curious about Stranger Things and American Ultra. Is it damage limitation that they're getting it out in the public's mind now, but you know how they play things like this? So they either make it ridiculous or...
Yep. Yeah, if they can make a joke of it is the best.
Yeah, they'll take things so far, they'll introduce an idea, and then they'll bring something in from left field that'll just be so outrageous and stupid that people just switch off and think, oh, well, they're just a bunch of idiots.
There was a young man that made the news a few years back. I believe he was a soldier from one of the bases up here in Alaska. He got on a plane, if I remember correctly, he flew to Florida, where he killed someone. And he stated very clearly that he was hearing voices in his head. If I am not mistaken, he brought himself to the authorities prior to the event, complaining that the government was doing testing on him and stuff, and he had problems and needed help.
Exactly.
That's very real. What they're doing with the movies is they are planting in the idea into the public's mind that all of this is fiction, so that when we come forth with these stories, that it is assumed that we're LARPing, live action role play.
Yep.
Assumed that we're LARP at best. Otherwise, we're insane. And I've been public for 4 years, and I've had people tell me on my YouTube that I'm schizophrenic.
I'm not.
What I am is I have induced dissociative identity disorder, which is I have alters. And I admit that.
What's your connection with Lancaster, Penny? Because I live virtually next door to Lancaster, and I have lived in Lancaster.
My connection is that in the 1600s, my ancestors were nobility all through the British Isles, and one of them owned Thurston Castle.
Okay. Interesting. I thought you were going to say that you were descended from the Pendle witches that were on trial at Lancaster Castle.
I'm descended from the De Vere family.
Okay.
Those who know will know. Those who don't, you can't explain it.
I've heard of De Vere. Yeah. Very interesting.
I'm descended from a daughter, so don't have that family name, but I am from that family. But I'm Rh positive, so not to worry.
Cool.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of the show. It's really nice to have you both on. And thank you, Jana, for hosting with me and asking great questions there. So where do people get in contact with you guys? Do you like to, just we've got 3 minutes left.
Oh, by all means, if you want to get a hold of me at Deciphering My Experience on Facebook or YouTube, I would love to hear from anybody that's had similar stories. And if you have any questions, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.
I have a YouTube that is Penny Bradley, Nachtwaffen pilot, and it's spelled German. And I have a new radio show on Global Enlightenment Radio Network. And It's called Nachtwaffen Pilot with Penny Bradley, and it's on Saturdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay, thank you. That's very interesting. Is the theme of your show going to be around your life experiences, or are you going to explore a little bit further?
I'm interviewing people from related topics. In fact, Eric is going to be on my show this coming Saturday.
Very good.
I was just thinking that.
We are expanding the knowledge of our nations as we speak and getting the word out. So thank you very much, both of you, for coming on tonight.
Thank you, ladies.
And telling us your experiences. It was fascinating and interesting.
Thank you. Yeah, that was interesting. I'm waiting for the music to come and it's just not coming. That's odd, isn't it?
I think we've all just got to try and keep as safe and sane as possible in these troubled times.
Mm.
Especially with coronavirus and all the different rules and regulations that keep changing and constantly doing everybody's heads in.
What do you think of the coronavirus, Penny? Is that sort of some set up or something?
I believe it to be a setup in order to take what freedoms we have left. Yes, there's a real bug, but it's not got the kill rates that they advertised at the beginning.
True. I agree with that.
You think it's just to take away our freedoms and then to get worse?
I believe it's the way that they are installing the new world order and total control.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly starts to look that way.
For sure, yeah.
Isn't it? Very sinister things going on in Australia and New Zealand.
I think we've been sounded out.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone. God bless you. Bye. Thanks for listening, audience, and see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.